I was kind of talking to the adult folk. All right. Well, we've made an adjustment, and thank you for adjusting. And when you make an adjustment, you never know exactly what's going to happen. 3:30 in the afternoon is not a very normal time to have church. At the same time, 5 below 0 is not a very normal temperature for Missouri. So we're trying to keep you safe and keep you warm. So thanks for adjusting. And I hated to just go through a day where we didn't have church if some folks wanted to come and worship and fellowship. And so we want to do that. So thanks to all of you for coming and being a part of the service today. And so we want to share with you what God has laid on our heart, and we want to worship. And indeed, depending on how long-winded the preacher is and how much sun is still shining when we get done, we got little cookies and some things to drink back there. If you want to fellowship for a little bit, you can stay as brief or long as you'd like to stay. We've already had some folks who have come in to bring some items for the family, but either due to sickness or previous appointments or those kinds of things have dropped in and gone on. Cheryl was to play for us today, but she is sick. Rhonda Mead just came by a while ago. She is sick. And so there are several folks that have got some kind of a virus thing or something going on, so we'll be remembering them in prayer. But we're glad that you've made it in today, and let's begin by turning to matter of fact, I didn't even put the page numbers here. I have no clue. We're going to sing, "Oh, Come All Ye Faithful," and the words are going to be on the wall. So let me see if I can figure out, so I'll have a pitch here. Because I really hadn't intended to be the one leading, but that's okay. 175. Thank you, Linda. And so, indeed, this is an appropriate song because the faithful have gathered this afternoon, and so we share it together in this wonderful Christmas season. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Now, before we sing verse 2, I just realized that we don't have music for greeting time. So during these next 2 verses, you can greet one another while we're singing these familiar words, okay? Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation. Oh, sing, all ye bright hosts of heaven above. Glory to God all, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. O Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. All right, so we remind you that in the way of announcements today, that most things are posted in the bulletin. There will not be a 6 o'clock service, and there will not be a concert of carols by David Smart, who is hung up in Kansas City in weather that's worse than what we have here. And so So we will try to see about rescheduling a similar type event into the future weeks sometime. But we just encourage you to, after service today, to indeed be home and safe and warm this evening. And again, we appreciate you taking the time to come out. Wednesday night is regular schedule of services, and so we encourage you to be here at 6:30 and to enjoy that time together in those various things. And then next Sunday morning, indeed, is a special time because of it being Christmas Day. And we indeed want you to have time with your family, but we don't want to forget that the whole reason we're getting together is because it's Jesus' birthday. And so indeed, we will have a worship service at 10 o'clock a.m. 10 o'clock a.m. It'll be a special time together, the Swearingen and Family Christmas. But my kids have told me I have to do some things different this year. I can't do it the same old way. So I'm working on different this year. And so we'll have some new things and some different things for you as we share together. We'll have some of the same things that we do, too. We can't do without the kids building the nativity and those kind of things. So we have to have that. And so indeed. Matter of fact, Jacqueline won't get to be building the nativity this year because she's too old now. And so we'll have different children building the nativity. We've got some of those graduated. So keep those services in mind. And then indeed the regular flow of services through the future days. On January 1st, we will have regular Sunday school and morning worship at the usual times. But there is not an evening service on January 1st. So keep that in mind. Make those adjustments. And we'll look forward to the regular schedule of times of getting together to worship and to fellowship with each other. And so I'm going to ask Carolyn to stand here for just a moment and update us as to where we're at with our family for our mission moment today. I have not made a specific connection with them because we were trying to see how today was going to play out. But what I went ahead and posted with some of the announcements that I put on Facebook and Phone Tree today was that we would go ahead and receive items through Wednesday night. So I'll try to make a connection with them Thursday or Friday. All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate Carolyn heading that up, as well as continuing to take care of our pastries and prayer and getting donuts to our faculty and staffs of our schools. And letting them know that we're praying for them and appreciating them. And so we are indeed remembering Matthews Elementary School at this point in time this month. And so we're going to ask our ushers, if they will, to prepare. And we're going to receive from this great crowd, we're going to receive a massive offering today. And so I've got it somewhere. There it is. If I can get it out. All right.
Before we begin the offering, this will be a little less dramatic than it sometimes is, but since it is the week before Christmas and some people will not be here, Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you.
Church.
Thank you.
Pastor Don and your family. So, Merry Christmas. I say it's a little less overwhelming, dramatic, whatever, than it sometimes would have been, but the feeling is still there.
Well, we appreciate that very, very much. And Pastor Don, if you'll ask God's blessing on our offering, we'll appreciate that.
Father, we truly are blessed to be the
want to turn in your hymn books, you can, but the words should appear on the screen. We're going to sing Go Tell It on the Mountain. And that is our responsibility to share the good news that that we have. Do I need a good drum line here or a good bass line?
What number was it?
181 is what it is in the hymnal. All right. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds land humbled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born and brought us God's salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. And then hark the herald angels sing. I forgot to check how many verses were on that particular set of slides. Sometimes when we're winging it, we miss a connection along the way, so. 191. It'll be on the screen. Hark the herald angels sing. I think this one will probably be closer. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, long desired, behold him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Now, Justin, if you will give us the words, because I don't have the music in front of me for Jesus Messiah. And we want to go to the chorus. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. That wasn't very good. Without a pitch, I missed that one entirely. So we'll just stop right there at that moment. So you get the message, though, that indeed we are grateful that the Messiah has come in Jesus Christ. And so thank you for your patience today and your forbearance. As we go to the Lord in prayer, we want to be mindful of those things that indeed we've been talking about as we've come in today, various people who are battling viral sicknesses and things. We did find out that Sister Phyllis Hahn, all of her tests came back negative. And so they have not found anything in regard to her gallbladder, so they're going back to look another direction now. I have not heard about Iris's blood work. I know that the other scan did not show anything in particular, and so they were waiting on some results from the blood labs for her. Brother Larry Hendricks, who is in the hospital recovering from a bypass surgery, had a really rough day yesterday and was in quite a lot of pain. Now, if you know Larry very well, you know that Larry is a conversationalist. And the whole time I was there, Larry never said a word. So I knew he was hurting pretty bad. So I know that Bonnie would appreciate your prayers. Their daughter Debbie is there. That's very helpful to the both of them. But I know this has been very challenging. So indeed, if you would pray for Brother Larry, that God would touch him and grant him a better day and give him recovery and relief from many of these things that he's facing, that would be greatly, greatly appreciated. And so anything else on your heart or mind? Yes, Sue has her brother living with her after his surgery, and okay, and so he's adjusting to medications and various other things after his time, and so it's even my understanding that he sent his dog back, so they took the dog back, and so just a lot of things that were changing that were unexpected in his life has created unexpected things in her life as well, and she's doing her best to help out there. So remember Sue Kirk in your prayers as well. We appreciate that so very, very much. Anything else?
One of my nephews had his scalp burned Friday night, Thursday night, I think it was. But they had trouble with their heating stove, so they were staying with Grandma and Grandpa. They got through to it. And so probably would have been a different story if they had been at home from 2 o'clock in the morning. But there's such an outpouring, people that he worked with, and his sister worked with, and his dad worked with,
When Phyllis called us today, she informed us, I'm sure you saw this tragic accident that happened up by Lebanon the other day. A couple was killed. They were on the way to the hospital to see their son, who had been in a head-on collision, if I understand right, the day before or even earlier that same day. I'm not sure exactly what the timetable is, but as we understand it, the couple that were killed, the man, the father of the boy that's in the hospital, is, I think, a nephew or a great-nephew of was Del Hahn's nephew or great-nephew, so we didn't quite get that relationship. Anyway, that family was connected to Del and Phyllis, and so it was a very tragic accident, and we want to remember those families. There are many that are making adjustments in this holiday season. And a lot of accidents, I think I said, I heard them say there were like 1,500 accidents reported last night. So just a lot of things that people are contending with. So as we go to the Lord in prayer, you know, the altars are always open if you have need of them. But you certainly can make an altar of the place where you are as well. And if you would stand with me, I would appreciate that. And number 165 is Emmanuel. And truly the significance of this time is that God loved us so much that he became one of us. And Emmanuel is God with us. So let me see if I can do better with this than I did with the other thing. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, his name is called Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us, his name is called Emmanuel. Father, we are indeed grateful for the privilege of gathering in your house. And Lord, it's been a challenging day. It's always hard to know what the right thing to do is about holding service or canceling service or all those kinds of things. And so, Father, we thank you for these wonderful, faithful folk who have made the adjustment and been flexible this afternoon as we try to indeed honor you on your day and yet also take care of our people and make sure that they're safe and protected in less than favorable weather. And so, Father, we just pray that tonight you indeed would watch over our people and keep them safe and warm and indeed be with our folks who have made it out this afternoon, that they would indeed find safe journey back to their homes. And Father, that this time that they've taken to come here would be beneficial to them, that, Father, your presence would be felt and that we would know that we have stepped into the throne room of God and that, indeed, this is not just an obligation. We didn't come here just out of legalism. But, Father, we come out of a desire to be in your holy presence. We come out of a desire to hear from your holy word. We come, Father, because we want to live the holy lives that you've called us to live. And so thank you, Father, for being here with us this afternoon. We indeed thank you for this special time and the privilege of this season. And Lord, we just ask that you would indeed be with each of the situations that we've already talked about with verbal requests. Be with each situation, Lord, those who need physical touches, those who need emotional touches, those who need financial aid, Father. There are all kinds of situations at this time of the year. And we just pray, Father, that you indeed would help each one of those people who might have each of those kinds of needs. Father, we just we pray that you would bless our time in your word and time in fellowship today. And may we go away from here saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord. And may we know, Father, that we have honored you as we intend to every day of our lives. And Lord, we just commit ourselves to you afresh and anew. We celebrate this wonderful season. And we thank you for this special time as we celebrate the coming of Jesus as the Christ child, the Messiah of the earth, and indeed Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you for it all, and we give you the praise as we commit these situations and these folks into your hands, that you indeed will help them and to meet their needs. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right. Well, our new family today is John and Linda Lewis. They maybe are a little less new than some of the others. They've been here longer than a year, but we're in adjustment this afternoon. So they're going to help us with our Advent wreath and reading.
Today, four candles burn in our wreath, one to honor a girl named Mary. The angel spoke. The Holy Spirit then placed a babe in her womb to carry. The Son of God will be your son, just you wait and see. Troubled at first, but then feeling blessed, she said, "May it be to me." Soon off she went to tell her cousin about this special boy. Hearing Mary's voice, Elizabeth's own child leapt in her womb for joy. The Holy Spirit came down. Mary's song went up. The Lord was magnified, his name was raised, his mercy was praised, and Mary's soul was filled with pride. Then the time came, the babe was born, the holy couple had done their part. The shepherds arrived to worship and adore, And Mary pondered all this in her heart.
Amen. Thank you. Well, I guess we forgot to clap and welcome the new family to our church. So we're glad that John and Linda are with us. If you have your Bibles, I indeed would like to take you to the book of Luke, the first chapter. This pink candle that we lit today for the first time is indeed Mary's candle, and we probably view Mary differently than perhaps the people who maybe began this observance. There is some level of honoring Mary at a whole different level than anyone other than Jesus himself in some churches, and the Catholic Church in particular has held her in great reverence. Certainly she is a special person, and there had to be a reason that God chose her over all the others that could have potentially bore the Messiah of the world. But I want us to think a little bit today about a particular part of this, and I need you to understand that as I began to pray, knowing that this was going to be the week that we would deal with Mary's candle, and trying to find exactly what God wanted me to speak going into this service, in years past, I'd always honed in on things about Mary's personality. What made her, what qualities made her the kind of person that God would choose? And what could we learn from that, and how could we emulate some of those qualities in our lives? But God led me differently, and I had been kind of struggling because I was really, really cued in to Luke 1:46, and I want to read to you. I want to read to you a little bit of the story. And Justin will not have all of these verses unless he's adjusted for me on the screen, and that's okay. But I want to read to you a little bit of Mary's story, but then he will have verses 46 and 47. That we'll kind of focus on the screen when we get to that point. So let me begin at verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." That's a verse we need to hang on to forever. Nothing is impossible with God. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And then here in verse 46 and 47, "And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from the thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. So here's this story of Mary, kind of preliminary to a lot of the focus that we give to the shepherds and the nativity and all those kinds of things. What was going on here with Mary was trying to adjust to this announcement that she's heard. Bible scholars tell us that Mary was probably somewhere in the area of maybe 14, 15 years of age. So as you think about 14 and 15-year-olds now, if somebody had an angel come to them and say, oh, by the way, you're gonna birth the Son of God, you know, I'm thinking they might become a little full of themselves. I think it would be easy to do to say, okay, of all the people in the world, God picked me. So I don't think it's so unusual that we find Mary being pretty excited that she has been chosen for this task. And in what is known as the Magnificat, Mary says, my soul glorifies the Lord. Now, here's where I want us to think, and I don't do this real often, but this is a particular case where I want to go back and take the text of the King James Version of this particular verse. The Magnificat, as we know this, is called that because in the Latin Vulgate, which was written as one of the first Latin translations of the Bible in the 400s, and then was accepted as the Catholic Bible in the 1500s, this word, Magnificat, is the first word of verse 46, and it means magnify. So as they've brought this into contemporary English, they've translated this to the word, my soul glorifies the Lord. But in that early English and in the Latin, it meant magnify. Now, if you look these terms up, the word glorify is one of those words that doesn't have a lot of written definition to it. It kind of means to bring glory to. So that isn't super enlightening to me at times, but I like what magnify means as you translate it out, because magnify means to cause to be held in greater esteem, to intensify, exaggerated, to enlarge in fact or appearance, to make something larger than it is. Now that particular thing, I don't think you can make anything larger than God is. I think God is larger than we can even imagine. We don't have any words to describe God, but we're talking about magnifying God. The word that was rendered glorified in our text as we read it means to magnify. And here's what I'm thinking, and this is what the Lord brought me to as I was praying. Lord, how do you want me to present this verse? How do you want me to develop this idea of magnifying the Lord? Why did you point me to this particular phrase in all of this stuff about Mary? Why do you want me here? The next day, after I'd been praying that morning, the next day I came to my office. Someone had sent to me a link that they wanted me to view something. And as I began to view what they had sent to me, then I began to realize what God wanted me to share. Now, interestingly enough, I thought I would be sharing with a full church of people, and I thought it might have more impact. But God knew what was going to happen today. He knows, you know, and so it may be one of those kind of things where I was thinking ahead of myself, and so God says, okay, just watch me, I'll show you. Don't get to thinking, you know, more than you ought to think. So at any rate, the issue here is that during the holidays, almost everything gets magnified. The truth of the matter is that because of all of the emotion and all of the things that are going on with the holidays, everything intensifies with the holidays. The good stuff is magnified. The bad stuff is magnified, you know. And what God started dealing with me about is that in the midst of the holidays, which again is all about, or should be all about, Jesus, then isn't it interesting that on Christmas Day, I mean, I just talked to somebody the other day who said, okay, we have canceled all of our services. We're having a 4:30 Christmas Eve service on Saturday so that we don't have, we're not going to have any service on Christmas Day because people need to be with their families and stuff. And I'm thinking, I get that. I do get that because they're it's not like they're not having church. They're having church on Saturday and they're going to worship and things. But it's like, how many of us feel better when they celebrate our birthday on our birthday? I mean, what's it do to us when they take our birthday and say, well, your birthday is on Wednesday, but we're going to celebrate it on Friday because that's better for us. And so what God began to deal with me about in my heart and my spirit was, here's Mary saying, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul glorifies the Lord. How often is it in the holiday season that God is not where our mind is at, and God is not who we're magnifying and glorifying? How often is it that all the other stuff is what's getting magnified? And so God began to deal with me about this. There's a lot of energy and emotion in the holidays, so feelings are definitely intensified. Gifts given or not given. Invitations received or not received affect perceptions about relationships. Finances or lack of them can create stress. Extra events put pressure on schedules, and how much time is given to one side of the family versus another can cause misperceptions or misunderstandings between couples. One person's joy can amplify or magnify somebody else's pain or grief. This is so prominent to me. I never, ever even thought about this until probably 15, 20 years ago. I mean, you've heard me tell this before, but I, you know, my family has great gatherings, and we have a good time, and Christmas has always been a wonderful time for me. I love Christmas, and I love all the stuff that's about Christmas, and I talk about that a lot. And I don't talk about it because I'm trying to create a bad situation for somebody else. I'm just excited. I'm just happy. I just enjoy my family. But then Carol said to me, you just need to know everybody doesn't like Christmas. I said, what do you mean? She said, Christmas is not a good time for everybody. And when it's not a good time for us, we don't want to hear about how good it is for you. And I thought, wow. I never meant to hurt somebody else by talking about my joy. And yet that was exactly what was happening. Magnifying the good that I felt in my life magnified the bad in somebody else's life. And I never intended for that to happen. That wasn't my point at all. But that's what was happening. That's how they were experiencing that. That's what they were hearing. That's what they were comparing that to. And so, how will the holidays be for us this year? Will we choose to magnify God for the gift of His Son or focus on life's disappointments, difficulties, and offenses? Will the ghosts of Christmas past or the past in general be allowed to rob us of the glory God deserves and should be given? Through the years, I'm a pretty emotional person. And sometimes it's not always a plus. And so I've heard and read some things this week that really spoke to my heart and helped me. And so I wanted to pass them on to you as part of this message when God laid it on my heart to talk about magnifying the Lord. So I want to touch base for a few minutes with you here about what the Word of God might say to us about all the other stuff we magnify, and help us to get back to focusing on the joy of Jesus. Help us to get back to magnifying God for His gift of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ, rather than focusing on some of these difficult things in life. And so as I was viewing this thing that was sent to me, three statements, it was longer than that, but there were three statements in the course of watching that really spoke to my heart that I wanted to share with my church. And so I'm hoping... And I don't know, are we recording, Justin? Good. Because if people don't get it, I would love for people to hear these things because I was just blown away. They really helped me. And when something really helps me, I like to pass it on because I hope it will help somebody else. But here was the first thing this individual said. Realize that my life is too short and my calling is too great to live offended. My life is too short and my calling is too great to live offended. Last night, my family, that I'm not supposed to talk about all the time, my family was supposed to meet in the fellowship hall at 6:30. 5:30, I get here, I pull in the parking lot, I'm thinking, you know, okay, there's going to be some people that aren't going to come. My mom's already called me and said she's not coming. But, you know, it's not a big deal. And so whoever wants to come, I'll have the church open for them. I pulled in the parking lot and tapped my brake and slid from this door all the way through that rain canopy down to the end by the outbuilding. And I'm thinking, this is not good. I could be the police officer for many car accidents on the parking lot if I don't get a hold of somebody and stop these people, because this thing is really nasty. It's like a skating rink out here. So all of a sudden, I call my mom and I said, give me all your brothers and sisters. I got to call them and tell them to call their downlines, and we got to get everybody notified and tell everybody. And so we did that, and you know, I made it. And then I saw headlights from my back door in the parking lot, and Jennifer's phone rang. And one of my cousins said, are we not having this thing? Nobody told me. Somebody didn't get called. Well, how easy is it sometimes, and how good is the enemy at taking things like that and saying, your family doesn't even care enough to call you or tell you or anything. You got left out. And how easy is it for us to take those kinds of things, and all of a sudden, instead of magnifying God, we're all wrapped up in what somebody did or didn't do that affected us in some kind of way. And so I need to realize, when life has these situations where I don't get treated the way I want to get treated, my life is too short and my calling is too great to live offended. I want you to think just very quickly. I want to read some scripture to you. I want you to think about lifespan. Psalms chapter 90 and verse 10 says, the length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass away and we fly away. And we know that scientifically what they're saying is the average lifespan is about 76 years. So that's right in this scripture. I mean, that's science. That's what they're saying. The Department of Insurance, it keeps track of all this thing. The normal span is about 76 years. So this verse is right on. And James says in James chapter 4 and verse 14, he says this, why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. So when we put our life in perspective to eternity, when we know that how we live out our life is going to affect where we spend eternity, how important is it for us to figure out life is too short? There's somebody in the chamber that has a bug, a pest control place, and their logo, their tagline is, life's too short to be bugged. Life is too short, and my calling is too great to live offended. Matthew chapter 4, think about this, about our calling. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. That's our calling. Our calling is the same calling as the disciples. Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That's what we're here for, to be fishers of men, to reproduce, to win souls, to make disciples. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 7 it says, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it says, so not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me and his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. My life is too short. 70-some years compared to eternity is a drop in the bucket. I don't have much time. I can't be wasting my time. I need to be magnifying the Lord, not other stuff. My life needs to magnify the Lord. And my calling is too great. My calling is to win people. If I live offended, if I'm always bent out of shape about stuff, how am I going to point people to God? I mean, this thing just really convicted me. My life is too short, and my calling is too great to live offended. I need to realize it. I need to acknowledge, this one really blew me away. I need to acknowledge my tendency is to judge others by their actions while judging myself by my intentions. I need to acknowledge that my tendency is to judge others by their actions while judging myself by my intentions. Here's a verse that I think you might be able to remember. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. It doesn't matter what other people do or why they do it. God has given me a directive as to what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to treat other people the way I want to be treated, whether that's how they treat me or not. There's never any qualification that says treat people nice if they treat you nice first. Matter of fact, there are verses about not being vengeful, you know, not hanging on to things. And the bottom line is we need to think about the fact, what made that person do that maybe? If we understood the intentions behind things sometimes, we would see them differently. Can I remind you that a long time ago, there was a boy who was anointed to be a man of God, and the prophet didn't see it. But in 1 Samuel chapter 16, in verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So God said this a long time ago. We tend to judge people by their actions, but we want to be judged by our intentions. Isn't this one of the great things of the holiness movement that we tout, is that God judges us on the intent of our heart, not just on performance? And yet how often do we react or respond to other people around us based on their performance, not having any idea what their intentions are, not even trying to find out? My life is too short and my calling is too great to live offended. My tendency is to judge others by their action while judging myself by my intentions. And then here's the bottom line. We need to determine that instead of rehearsing the situation, I will release it. You know what normally happens when something offends us? We play it over and over and over. We go over it every which way but loose. We play it over and over, and the more we play it, the more wound up about it we get. Where if we would just release things, then we would be magnifying God, because that's what God has instructed us to do. We want to be magnifying God, not magnifying the ways of the world, the things of this earth, and stuff. We don't want to be magnifying stuff. My soul, Mary said, magnifies the Lord. That's what we want to do. What did Jesus say? If I be lifted up, I'll draw them in into myself. We need to magnify the Lord. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18 gave us God's intent a long time ago. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Don't bear grudges. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 32 says this, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." That doesn't say forgive people if they forgive you first, or forgive people if they're nice to you, or if you like them. It says forgive people as God in Christ forgave you. How was that? Unconditionally, sacrificially, not because we deserved it, not even because we asked for it. We were forgiven before we ever asked for forgiveness, weren't we? And that's how we're supposed to respond to people and situations around us. Don't rehearse them. Release them. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 read like this. "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Instead of spending our time collecting debts, we need to be spending time investing in life, making a contribution. Contributions that pay dividends. We need to magnify the Lord. The Lord has given me so much. Life is too short and my calling is too great to live offended. Stop judging people by their actions and try to understand their intentions. That's how we want to be judged. And stop rehearsing situations and start releasing them so that we can move on past, forgetting the past, moving forward toward what ahead. The ghosts of Christmas past. Leave them behind. My soul magnifies the Lord. Listen to this word from Psalms chapter 34. Psalm chapter 34 and verse 3. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. And one of the best places that I know to do that, and I know you're familiar with this, but I just want to read it to you one more time because God has done so much for us. Let our souls magnify the Lord. Let's start magnifying God and not the stuff. Let this holiday season be a time where we can have the joy of Jesus, where we can celebrate the season that God sent His Son for us and what He wants to do in us. This is what it says. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Matter of fact, it should be there, so read it with me. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Years ago, there's been a very prolific songwriter, written many great songs. But as we think about magnifying the Lord, I want to conclude with this chorus. How big is God? How big and wide is His vast domain? To try to tell, these lips can only start. He's big enough to rule His mighty universe, yet small enough to live within my heart. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul glorifies the Lord. I'm just telling you, I don't think it's possible to magnify God and magnify the stuff at the same time. And the more you magnify God, the more the stuff doesn't matter. So magnify the Lord with me in this holiday season. As Mary celebrated her good fortune and God's blessing, let us also celebrate all that God has done for us and share it with those whom we meet. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. If you want to stay, there are some cookies and some things, some hot wassail and some hot chocolate, and some Mountain Dew. Okay. So there are some drinks if you would like to have some cookies and drinks. But I understand if you want to get home as the sun begins to go down, if you need to go, you feel free to go. But you're welcome to stay for a little bit if you'd like as well. So let's have a closing prayer and just ask for God to bless again our fellowship and give a safe journey home. Thank you so much for taking the time to come this afternoon. I trust that it's been a blessing to you and that God has ministered to you and your spirit. Brother Bob Davidson, pray a blessing over our fellowship, please.